Amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Thank you, Angela, for singing this morning. If you would, turn me down just a tad on the monitors, if you would. And Philippians chapter number 1. Last week, if you remember, we were in Philippians chapter 1. We will be for the next 4 or 5 weeks, as the Lord has seen fit, just in these verse-by-verse looks and kind of a snapshot at this wonderful book. The theme of Philippians is a book of joy. It's about the joy of the Lord. Matter of fact, if you didn't know better, you might would think that Paul wrote this book from some island somewhere, maybe in the South Pacific. I'm not sure. Just the way it would sound, Paul would write this book, and you would think, man, he must have been in some resort somewhere. But Paul actually wrote this book from prison. He wrote it from a jail cell. But even in prison, God had brought paradise to Paul. Paul knew something about the Lord's help and knew something about the joy of the Lord. Paul did not have joy because of his circumstances. He had joy rather because Christ gave him joy in spite of his circumstances. Amen. I think we need to realize that just in 4 short verses this morning that God spoke to my heart not too long ago and just put some things down, especially where our church is right now. I preached this same message just a few hours ago to a host of people that have the same problems that many of you are going through. Maybe some are going through some problems recent and difficulties. But you have listen, joy is a choice. Amen. It's a choice you make. Yeah. You'll see that here in just a little bit. I want to just read a couple verses to you. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Let's begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these verses and how they ministered our hearts this morning. Lord, I look out here today and I'm so encouraged by those that have put you first today coming to the Lord's house. Lord, we've been encouraged already in the Lord. And Lord, that doesn't mean that folks walked in here today and the sun's shining in their heart and they're, everything's just going good and they have the joy of the Lord. Lord, we know there's some that come in here today and they're battling some things. They're going through some things. Lord, maybe some of us know about them. Maybe some of us don't. Lord, I pray that you will help them today. And as they leave today and go their separate ways, I pray that they'll have the joy of the Lord in their heart. Amen. Lord, I thank you for what you've done in our hearts already. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to notice here in just introduction of Paul's epistle here to the Philippians, there's several things about joy that we're going to bring out this morning. The first thing is this. I see that there is a search for joy. Now, there's a search for joy in society today. There's a search for joy in our churches today. There's a search for joy among the brethren today. Everybody is looking for joy. Their idea of what joy may be. Now, we may have slightly different views of joy, maybe a different idea of what joy are, but we are all in pursuit of this subject or this thing called joy. Joy is having the sense of inner peace, contentment, and satisfaction. And who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to have peace? Who doesn't want to have satisfaction? Who doesn't want to know that peace that passeth all understanding? The problem, though, comes from when we confuse joy with happiness. See, joy and happiness are two different things. Happiness is actually tied to our circumstances or the happenings in life. So I can ask you this morning, are you happy? And you can say, oh, preacher, I'm happy this morning, but it's tied to a circumstance. For instance, the reason you're happy today is because maybe you didn't have to work. Or maybe the reason you're happy today is because you feel good and maybe you're not sick like other people are sick. Maybe all your bills are paid this morning and you're happy. I don't know what the problem is today. Maybe you're not sick like a lot of people are sick right now. Maybe you're happy. And if you have If you have been sick, don't shake my hand, amen, because I want to stay happy. But seriously, our happiness is often tied to our circumstances. There are some circumstances that come in life that obviously we know circumstances come and we have no control over. But if you're battling happiness, happiness means you're experiencing favorable events. If everything is going well at work, I'm happy. If my marriage and my relationships are going well, I'm happy. If I'm not going through any serious difficulty in life, then I'm happy. Happiness is often tied to our feelings of success and our prosperity. And so if we feel good about ourselves, then we're happy. Often some of you are not even happy. There's circumstances. It's kind of like life is a roller coaster for you. And one minute you're up and the next minute you're down. One minute you're up, the next minute you're down. And that's how happiness can go. See, the problem with all of that is that our feelings, they never stay the same. They are not accurate indicators of the reality of life. It is our happiness is based on how we feel. And that's how it is. If our happiness is based on how we feel, then the search for true joy will always be out of reach. That's how most people go. They don't know what true joy is. So you can only buy, or you can only try, or you can only see so many things. Then what? Oh, preacher, if I just get that truck, I'll be happy. Or if I just get that house over there, I'll be happy. Or if I can just get this amount of money in my bank account, then I'll be happy. But what if you don't? And then what if you do? What's next? So what makes you happy? See, true joy must be different. It must be. Because it must be more than how I feel, than what I have, or the way that I look, or how my life is going at this certain point. There must be more to joy than just what my circumstances in life dictate. So there's a search for joy. Are you happy? Let me just go beyond that. Are you joyful today? Do you even know what the joy of the Lord is all about? I looked out there this morning in the 8:30 service and I seen Brother Akenya back here sitting by himself. And I can imagine the emotions walking into the church. And this, of course, ain't the first service that he's been back. But I thought about this, you know, how does a man still have the joy of the Lord in his heart after his spouse has passed away? I look out here today and I see people battling sickness. And there was a man that I spoke to out in the hallway just a moment ago, said, "Preacher, I've got cancer. I'm battling cancer." Hey, there's people genuinely going through difficult times. And some of you may not even have told anybody your difficult time, but it's a difficult time. My wife and I just a few weeks ago were expecting a child. We had not even told anybody. And we went to the doctor and for a checkup, and the doctor found that the heart, there was no heartbeat, there was no life. And so I'd never been down that road before, and we journeyed through that a little bit, and it was sad, very sad, what we went through. But you know what? Even through that little circumstance, and as sad as it was, the Lord never left me. Matter of fact, through that circumstance, I got to see him stronger than I'd seen him, and in a different way. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Sometimes it hits you a week or two later, and you just have to pick yourself up and go on and minister to others and help others. But you understand that there is joy, and that joy, it'll come even during the hard times of life. So there's a search for joy. During the midst of that, we haven't even told the church because we're still trying to get everything together. But right in the midst of that battle, someone had stolen out of the mailbox of the church some mail, and they actually got caught. But there's been going around Simpsonville, people stealing around Christmas time, was stealing mail out of the mailboxes. And so the sheriff contacts me. Now, we just found out about this, our child, and sheriff contacts me and says, "Pastor, we found some church mail in the mailbox, or in this stolen car." And we got the guy still in the car, you know, we got him and all. And so he started off. So we took care of some of that. But then my wife and I were driving down the road, and we looked at, and she said, she was looking around, you know, looking, checking our account. And she said, "Honey, who's so-and-so and who's so-and-so and who, what's this check written to?" And I'm like, "Honey, I ain't never heard of those people in my life." And what they did was they took our checks and duplicated them. That's terrible. We found out Christmas Eve. How about that? After we'd been ministering to a family all day who had lost their mother and lost their wife. And after we had just said goodbye to a baby. Buddy, I walked in here, didn't tell anybody. I was like, man, this is terrible. I don't like this. I don't like the way this feels. But guess what? I could still have the joy of God in my heart. Amen. I can't explain it. Hey, I don't like it. Well, you could go over in the corner and cry. And let me just tell you, there was times where I wanted to go over in the corner and cry. Our mail somehow got mixed in with that mail. And we've gotten it all straightened out now and had to close accounts and start them up. You know, we understand some of that happens. But can I tell you, listen, church, if you're basing it on circumstances, then that would have been a pretty terrible day. And I wouldn't want that for anybody. But hey, joy comes in the morning. Amen. Hey, you can go through a terrible time, and there's a lot of people searching for joy today, and they've not found it because they're stuck on circumstances. They're stuck on circumstances. So that's the search of joy. But then there's the source of joy. See, I want you to look at it. How could Paul have such joy while sitting in prison? I don't understand it. It is because of his personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He knew Jesus. He knew Christ. It is connected. He was connected to Christ. Jesus is the source of joy. Turn with me over to John chapter 15, if you would. I want to show you some verses, what Jesus said about joy. I love these verses. John chapter 15, he's speaking of the true vine. He said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. Notice what he says in John chapter 15. And let's just begin in verse number 1. These are great verses. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So there's a pruning process. It's natural. Those of you that know what I'm talking about, when you prune something back, that the branches may grow healthier and produce more fruit. It's not enjoyable, but it does happen. Verse 3 says, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Here's what he says in verse 5. I'm the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So he's talking about that fruit. What fruit is he speaking of? The fruit of the Spirit. And one of the fruit of the Spirit, those nine pieces of fruit there, one of the fruit is the fruit of joy. Now notice what he says about this in verse 6. If ye abide not in me, he cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So that's the will of God, that ye bear much fruit. Now notice, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now notice verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He said that if you abide in me, if that's where you live and that's where you rest, my joy will be your joy. Amen. That's how we are. Hey, and so where do we see this source of joy? The source of joy comes from none other than the Lord Jesus. So if we have Jesus, if we know Him, if we're connected to Him, why are we still not satisfied? Why are we still not full of the joy of the Lord? Why are we just still not joyful? See, at this point, we find some help in our Scripture today. And if we listen to Paul's letter, we'll see what Paul says about joy. You'll see that joy is a choice. Joy does not come from, nor will it ever, if it comes from within. See, joy does not come from without, rather. It can never come from without. Joy comes from within. So joy is not dependent upon the circumstances, but it's dependent upon what Jesus Christ said. And He knew the secret of it. Now, I want to give you this. You might want to write it down. But here is not just the source of joy, not just the source of joy, not just the search for joy, but I want you to notice the secret of joy. Now, here's the message. Here's the secret of joy. Now, let's go down to verse number 3 of Philippians chapter 1. I want you to notice this. Here's the secret. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So here's the secret. You want to choose joy in your life? You want to be joyful? Cultivate a heart of gratitude. Cultivate a heart of gratitude. Notice what he says. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. See, we're often unhappy because we are too focused on ourselves. We're too focused on our situation. We're too focused on the circumstances around us and how we feel. And this, if we don't feel good that day, then we're not happy. And if we are having a bad day, then we're not happy. And so we often base our unhappiness on these circumstances that comes in life. But when you are grateful, as Paul was, he said, I'm thankful. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. But when you're grateful, it's impossible to stay focused on your problems. Yeah. Hey, we need an attitude of gratitude. If you're just genuinely unhappy and grouchy and ungrateful, get your eyes off of your problems and put them on somebody else's need or on Christ. We need a revival of gratitude. Paul is in prison. He's not complaining. He's not saying, God, where are you? Why am I in prison? I've been doing your will. Instead, here's what Paul is saying. He's counting his blessings. You would have thought that Paul was writing this letter from some island somewhere, but instead he's down in a prison. Instead, he's counting his blessings and thanking God for these Philippian believers individually as he remembers them. And he brings him great joy. See, it was Paul who said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, he said, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Well, you mean I'm supposed to give thanks when I lose my job? Am I supposed to give thanks when the death of a loved one? I'm supposed to give thanks when I get cancer? I'm supposed to give thanks. He said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning Christ Jesus. We are to give thanks. So if that be the case, why would God command us to have joy? Because He wants you to experience joy. He wants you to understand what joy is about. Practicing gratitude, it leads to joy. Matter of fact, here's what joy is. Joy is obeying what the Father says. That's what the byproduct of joy is, obedience. That's the byproduct. You want joy in your life? Obey. Do the will of the Father. Hey, and that's what it is. It's kind of that analogy of the cup being half full. You've heard of it. I'm looking at the glass half full, and some look at the glass half empty. You know what joy will do? It'll give you a better optimism. Amen, brother. Well, I just don't like the way things are. I'm just looking at it. But then you'll talk to another person right down the road here, and they'll say, boy, I tell you what, it could have been worse, man. I'm just thankful that it's just that. One has joy, the other one is not grateful at all. So, to the extent I can see the blessings and be grateful for them. I was speaking with Brother Ikenya just shortly after Miss Cerise had passed away, and he said, and this came from him. He said, Pastor, I'm just thankful for the 18 years that I had her. The 18 years that I had the opportunity to be her husband and to know her for 20 years and date her and court her and be engaged to her and marry and have children. He said, Preacher, I'm just thankful for those years. Now, he could have been bitter at God. He could have been blaming God. Hey, but instead he chose to look at the better half. Right. We need that dose of joy as well. Amen. So you choose joy when you choose to cultivate a heart of gratitude. The second thing is this. You choose joy when you choose to value Christian friendships. When we value Christian friendships, look at verse number 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now here's what Paul is bringing out. Paul is bringing what brings Paul great joy in the fact is these deep Christian friendships that he has with these Philippian believers. Matter of fact, if you go down to verse number 7, what we mentioned last week, he says in verse 7 of that same chapter, even as it was meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of the confirmation of God, of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. Paul loved to fellowship with these Philippian believers. And let me just say what fellowship is. Fellowship is not just sitting over a cup of coffee and talking about deer hunting and talking about racing and talking about some truck you like. And fellowship is not just going out with someone out to eat. Fellowship is actually getting together with someone, a believer, and talking about Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what fellowship is. So when the church says, hey, we're going to have fellowship tonight, hey, guess what the center ought to be? It ought to be Jesus. Amen. You cannot fellowship with an unbeliever. Do you understand that? You say, well, I've got a good hunting buddy. Now, he don't believe in God, but I sure like his fellowship. You like his company. And there's nothing wrong with that, but here's the deal. You can only fellowship with those who trust Jesus Christ. So here we got fellowship, and Paul is thankful for the partnership in the gospel. The word partnership is the biblical word koinonia, which is often translated as fellowship and participation. Just by putting up a sign that says food, fun, and fellowship does not guarantee that you're going to have fellowship or even experience some happiness. Hey, I know churches that put up food, fun, and fellowship. Nothing wrong with that. We like to have all three. But can I tell you, if that's what you base your fellowship on, then you're dead wrong. Because I've seen fellowship go south real quick. Hey, there's some people that I prefer not to fellowship with because the conversation is not about Jesus. But there are a lot of people that when you get around them, that conversation is going to lead back to Calvary. And that's the ones that I like to be around and the ones that I like to fellowship with. Hey, and here's Paul is speaking about that. He's talking about these believers. And these believers have a deeper tied relationship because they participate in Christ in the advancement of the gospel. You say, what do you mean by that? Often we at church are closer to our church family than we are our physical family. Some of you don't understand that. But there are some of you in this church that are closer to the people of the Bible Baptist Church than you are your own family. You say, why? Because you have things in common. Jesus being the main thing. Our family don't have family reunions. I kind of wish they did. They might have to go searching for some of them. Some of them it wouldn't be hard to find. Just look in the newspaper. If you know what I mean. We got a pretty rough crowd where I'm from. We don't have family reunions. The only time our family gets together is if there's a death in the family. That's sad. I love being around my family. I spent some time this past week with my mom and dad for a little bit. I'm close to my mom and dad. I'd seen my sister. I had not seen my sister in almost 3 years. She lives up in northern Michigan, almost in a strange land. It really is a strange land. And anyway, she lives up there in northern Michigan where they don't see the ground for months and months and months at a time. That's not the will of God, friend. Somebody's got to reach them Eskimos for God. And she's up there, and they snowmobile to work and snowmobile to school. And I'm not lying; they got snowmobile roads where they're at. And I went out of that place, and I've preached up there a few times, and I went out quick. It's too cold. But I love fellowshipping with my family. But let me just say this: when you are laboring in the gospel with family, and that blessed fellowship is sweet. Boy, when somebody's suffering, you all suffer, don't you? I've never experienced hurt like I've experienced in these last 3.5 years, where you actually lose a family member. You lose someone at your church. You see somebody walk down that road, that death road, that valley of the shadow of death, and you walk with them and you hurt and it hurts you and you feel their pain and you feel their sorrow. You say, where's that come from? It comes from loving each other, and you are family. Amen. You're family. Paul looked at these Philippian believers and valued their Christian friendship. And what Paul shared in common with these Philippian believers is that they were partners in the gospel. Are we partners in the gospel? Yeah. We're partners in the gospel. I'm all about the gospel. Brother Jason, I'm all about the gospel. That's why I don't ever get to see you much, but we're brothers. I love those texts that you send. I love those messages. Why? Because, hey, he's pastoring down in Florida and he's reaching people down there. But guess what? We're striving together in the gospel.
Amen.
Let me just say this. If that's not you today, then I'd be checking up. Why does everybody seem like they're just so, when somebody dies around here, everybody's just so sad? Because we care about one another. Because we love each other. Because when somebody hurts, we go to their need. We rush to them and we love them. Hey, that's only natural. Paul felt the same way from prison. It brought him joy. Those relationships brought him joy. And our fellowship and joy grows as we serve together. It grows as we pray together. We spend time, experience life together. Hey, it's hard to gossip about somebody when you've been praying for that person. You want to get close to somebody? Pray with them. You want to get close to somebody? Pray for their need. Pray for their need. Love them. Pray for them. Spend time with them. Our fellowship and joy grows as we serve together, we pray together, we spend time together. And all the gospel, that's what it's all about. And Paul had a fond memory of the Philippians to draw upon them because he had previously made those memories with these Philippian believers. It's listen, when someone goes away and passes away or leaves, all we have is memories, right? Are you making memories? Man, I thank God for those that have stayed. Man, when I first got here, I didn't know what was going to happen. Didn't know who was going to leave, who was going to stay. I thank God for those that stayed with this young pastor that helped me. You mean so much to me. We've had to lean on you. We've had to trust what's going on. We've had to thank God for you. We've had to ask, hey, what do we do here? We didn't know anybody. Hey, I remember in those early days, Brother Guy Hendershot. Brother Guy would come to my office and aggravate me to death. He would bring something right before the service and would say, Pastor, we got a problem. Pastor, we got a problem. I'm about to step out there and go and preach, and we got a problem. And I would think, man, so finally one day I said, Brother Guy, don't tell me the problem. I don't want to know. Oh, okay. And he left. I thought I offended him. He came back to me later and he said, Preacher, I'm sorry. I should have thought through that. That man was a servant. Man, he just loved on me and cared about me, him and Miss Patty. I thank God for those early days and thank God for what he did in my life. And I look out here and see others that just stayed by the stuff and loved and through the good times and the bad times. You know what that happens? You know what happens because of that? You're bonded together. You're bonded together. Here's the third thing and the final thing when we choose joy. You choose joy when you choose to trust in the Lord to complete His plan. Trust in the Lord to complete His plan. Here's what I'm talking about. Look at verse number 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And I love that verse, and I would imagine that there were times when Paul wondered what God was up to. I could imagine while he's in prison, and yet he's been doing God's will, the thoughts that's coming through his mind. And if he were to judge his life by just that moment and that difficulty, he might have been tempted to despair a little bit. But Paul remained joyful even in the prison of life. You say, how did he do it? Well, look at that verse again. In verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun, there's the past, which hath begun, Jesus is the author and the finisher. The past hath begun, a good work in you will perform. Hey, he's performing that. I'm saved. He will carry it on, if you will. And then the last part is futuristic. Until the day of Jesus Christ. Man, I love that verse because from start to finish, the Lord is in control. He's never lost you. Hey, what God starts, He completes. Paul is probably thinking, yes, I'm in prison, but it's not over yet. I will refuse to judge my life by this one time. Yes, I'm going through a difficult time in my family, but it's not over. This is not who I am in Christ. This sickness does not define me. That loss does not define me. It's not over yet. You say, why? Because it's not over until God says it's over. Oh no, God's not through with you. Christians of all people have to see the big picture. And the good news is that we have the big picture. We've got the Word of God. We know how it ends. We know how things are. Let me just say, we know because we trust God. This life is not all that there is. What God began in us, He's going to bring completion. God will not finish what He God will finish what He started. So when will that occur? On the day of Jesus Christ. I don't know when that day is. That is an expression referring to the coming of the Lord Jesus as a consummation of His plan. I'm not sure, but what brings joy is knowing that it is a certainty. That it is going to happen. That one day Jesus Christ will come back. And guess what? When He does, it's going to be over.
Amen.
Oh yeah, what He started, He will finish. God has a plan.
Amen.
Well, preacher, I've been going through a difficult time in my life. Hey, can I just stop right here and tell you, join the club.
Amen.
Who hasn't been? I'd like to talk with you if everything's been going all just hunky-dory for you and just like a bed of roses, man, I'm just doing great. Hey, it's been difficult. But quit living in the prisons of life and just being drab and drugged down and depressed. Hey, won't you just choose today to say, you know what? Living down there is not going to change my circumstances. I choose joy. I choose joy. Listen, if Paul can rejoice in prison, so can you and I. A letter of joy from prison. How is that even possible? How can someone, by verse number 3, not be complaining about this dark, stinky, dark dungeon, cold and damp and starving half to death? How can someone even remotely be happy? I'll tell you how they can be happy. They can be happy in Christ. The same way you and I can be. Let's quit walking around with our jaw dragging the ground and dragging everybody down and always talking about your problems on Facebook and out there just being dramatic and dragging people down. Hey, can I tell you, and I know people go through tough times, but listen, instead of telling others about it, tell Jesus about it. He's the one that can do something about it. Hey, I don't mind hearing your problems. That's what I'm here for. Come and talk to me, and I'll try to help bear that burden with you. But my friend, if you've not chose joy today, if you've not chose that satisfaction, that peace that passes all understanding, I just challenge you today, read your Bible and look and see a man who went after difficulty after difficulty after difficulty, and he chose to have the smile of God on his life.
Amen, brother.
If you're basing your happiness on marriage, if you're basing your happiness on a job, if you're basing happiness on a raise, if you're basing happiness on things, all that'll change. I know preachers that things are going well when their church is growing. Boy, they're flying high and they're doing great and they're riding high. And every time you talk to them, but then when their church has problems, you can't find them. Now hold on, the same God on the mountain is the same God in the valley. And often where we grow more is in the valley. The prisons of life. I don't like them. Hey, don't look at me like I like prisons. Some of you are like, well, you must enjoy them. I hate them. Why? I don't know. I just don't like that. Well, I don't either. I don't like to see people get sick. I don't like to see people die. I don't like to see people go through hard times. But listen, life is that way. Life is rough, is it not? How many of you found out life is pretty tough at times? So guess what? We're going to have to choose joy. We have to choose joy. Wherever you find yourself today, choose joy. Express gratitude. Are you grateful? Make memories. Make memories with other believers, because guess what? They're here today and gone tomorrow. I went by yesterday and spoke to and visited for a good while Jimmy and Olena Stevens. God put them on my heart yesterday and just drove over there and spent some time with him. Jimmy's going through a tough time. Didn't even know me. I had to introduce myself the last three or four times. He said, "Who are you again?" And I said, "I'm your pastor." Dementia is a terrible disease. Probably one of the worst you can get. Watch a loved one go through. I watched Jimmy cry because it confused him. Then he figured it out. He had to put his hearing aids in because he couldn't hear me. And he wept and he said, "Preacher, without these things," he said, "I can't hear nothing. I'm such in the dark. I don't know anybody." I watched Alina sit over there and she wept because she watched her husband tormented, going through a terrible time and confusion. Church, can I just tell you this? Listen, there's going to be difficulties in life. I wish that I could have just reached over there yesterday and touched his ears and prayed and he could have hearing restored. I wish I could touch his mind and his mind be clear and sharp like it was years ago. I can't do that. Only thing I can do for Jimmy is pray. Only thing I can do is love on him and tell him everything's going to be all right and help dry his tears. But can I tell you, listen, on this side, there's going to be difficulties. There's going to be trials. There's going to be things to go through. Just listen, you can get bitter or you can get better. I choose to get better. I choose to live the joyful life. God has a plan and He's going to fulfill it. I want to be part of His plan. I want to hear that, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to hear that. But you'll not hear it unless you've done well. If you quit, be not weary in well-doing. Hey, there's nothing wrong with being weary. There's nothing wrong with getting tired in the way, but I don't want to get tired of the way.
Amen.
I don't want to get tired of preaching. I don't want to get tired of loving on people. Can I just tell you this? I choose joy.